Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to the Coffee Cast with Cation and Rubin, powered by Behind the Racket, the podcast dedicated to looking at the top issues facing tennis and getting to know the players facing them.
Visit BehindTheRacket.com for the latest stories, merch, as well as direct links to all of the latest podcasts. The Coffee Cast can also be found on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and wherever you find your podcasts. Download the episodes and make sure to leave a review.
Special thanks to our sponsor, New Balance. Visit their latest shoes and styles at newbalance.com and learn more about their program of giving back at #NBGivesBack.
And we want you to be a part of the conversation. Find me at NoahRubin33 or Mike at MikeCTennis on all forms of social media. You can also learn more at BehindTheRacket.com or MikeCTennis.com. And now.
Well, good restart to the 2020 campaign for our little friend Noah Rubin.
That's what Max calls me.
Max being your very close friend, Max Eichler.
Yes.
Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yeah, Eichler. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it wasn't meant to be in Dallas.
No.
Tough matchup against Alex Vukic, who then played very well and almost beat Francis Tiafoe as well. But you got your first win.
Yeah.
You got your first win of the year against Mackie McDonald before falling to Paolo Lorenzi. Those are the facts of what happened over the last week or so as we go behind the racket with you this year. Where are you at mentally with how the facts side, the results side?
I got a win. I did that. I shook hands and it was a positive result, which after, I don't know, almost 3.5 months basically has not taken place. So, I mean, just that fact with also, you know, a decent amount of people watching on a Sunday in my backyard, it doesn't hurt the situation. I think it was a sigh of relief. I think I was almost starting to believe everybody that was, you know, talking shit about me saying I don't care about tennis anymore and I can't win a tennis match. And I was like, no, I can. I'm working hard. And I think just the sole fact that I overcame some of the pressures of playing in my backyard while also playing Mackie, who, again, I didn't look this up, but I don't think I've ever beaten him before, even in juniors. We have very contrasting games despite the size. You know, despite that we're actually the same size, we have very different games. And, no, that was a good win, I think. It meant a lot for me.
Can I address something you
do? So, yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned in a little Take 5 article on USTA.com, basically you referenced your co-producer, me, but you also talked about the fact that, how do we put this? People have been asking me about whether you're quitting tennis. You've just referenced it yourself. Why does that matter?
It matters because regardless of me being independent and trying not to focus on what others say, it is shoved in your face by Twitter and Instagram enthusiasts that want to remind you that regardless of how hard you work and the outcome of last week, that this week is a totally different week. And if you lose this match, you're worthless. So, you know, all players deal with this. I've dealt with it because of, you know, on a harsher basis, I've been open and talking about things on the tennis side. So here I am complaining about tennis, but also losing tennis matches. So people think I am just sour about the whole situation. And believe me, I am sour about losing matches. It is not fun, but that has no correlation to my, you know, activism and me being upset about, you know, what's taking place in the system of tennis. So, you know, with the one match won, that is by no means shutting up my haters. You know, I'm still lost in qualifying, but at the same time, it's, you know, it proves to people that I am not just winging it. I am out here grinding, trying to get back the same feel, which honestly, I am a much better place than I was 2 weeks ago. So it's exciting, but it's a very difficult thing. you know, it's the same old guys. You know them very well. We basically have the same haters. We're just in different regards. And people always like to say, oh, another early first round loss, or why would he play tennis when he is behind the racket, or he should be doing behind the racket instead of playing tennis. Like, stop wasting your time. I get it. I'm not 17, but I'm also not 30. You know, I would like to think I'm on the younger end of the spectrum. So to, you know, hear these people attacking me every once in a while, you know, it gets in my head. So, you know, to combat that a little bit, you know, to have that win, you know, against a solid player who also probably didn't have the confidence that he's looking for, you know, I'm going to take that and try to use it to my advantage. It's been a long road. I've dealt with it before. For some reason, my professional career is looking different than my junior career, just in terms of injury wise, and I've dealt with a lot more than I ever have. But it's interesting. It really is. It's the strangest world. Not only are you alone because you have no team, but then everybody has an opinion about what you are doing, and it gets tiring. And, you know, I don't know the best ways to go about it. Probably not to have an Instagram or Twitter in the end, but, you know, I use it for so many different things, and it actually is a marketing tool that I guess you just have to deal with the bad if you're going to take the good with it.
So, yeah, that's an interesting thought, because we have been asking for people to engage with us on social media, as you'll hear in about 7 minutes from now. Is it worthwhile to turn that off for a little bit?
I think at times it is, and I think, you know, that's why I haven't even posted on my Behind the Racket in, you know, in a little bit of time. And, you know, I've done some interviews with some players, but haven't really posted, because I think I needed a break for a second and just, you know, take a step back and say, you know, regardless of what people are saying, I know what I'm doing. I'm not changing it. I'm getting in a rhythm. I'm doing what I can to put myself in the best position necessary. Maybe I just don't have to listen to these voices for 10 minutes, you know, and it just happens. It doesn't really matter what it is. We all get it. I mean, I haven't even asked him, but, you know, here we have Tennis Angren losing an incredibly tough match yesterday. I'm sure there's hate mail. I mean, this guy quartered Australian Open last week, but I'm sure he got mail like, wow, you're a piece of shit player. Like, how did you lose to Stevie Johnson when you're, you know, quartering slams? You should be winning ATP matches easy now. And, you know, everybody has the right to talk. I get that. That's a social media world. But, you know, I have to say, after a while, it does hinder the mentality a little bit. So, you know, I took a step back, and, you know, I was happy to get that one win. Obviously, a tough match against Lorenzi. I think it was, you know, I actually think I played better in that match than I did against Mackey. It was just a tough matchup. Courts are really slow. But, you know, I was happy to be in the situation I was, and, you know, hopefully take it with me the next few weeks. And, you know, I kind of have this idea that things possibly may get worse before they get better. We spoke about this before, you know, trying to have the idea that I may not be getting into tournaments that I love so much, like an Indian Wells or Miami. But that's just the ranking. That's just how it works. So, you know, if I have to put a future or a challenger in there instead of those tournaments, it's going to be tricky for the mind, seeing everybody play those and doing well. And, you know, Indian Wells is one of my favorite tournaments of the year, if not the. That's a tough thing. That's a tough thing to swallow. But it's just knowing and trusting you're on the right path right now. And I think right now I've had the most constants in my life. You know, whether it's equipment, whether it's home, whether it's training, you know, I'm feeling good about everything. And it's just about keeping that up for another 12 years. But, and I actually kind of, you know, segues, you know, into my rambling, segues into, you know, and I don't even know where I want to go with this again, but injuries. And I guess it just upsets me so much. You know, whether it's myself, whether it's my friends, you know, just talking to Bjorn and some of the issues he's having. You know, I don't want to blow up his spot or anything, but obviously he's been out for a while and his return is to be determined. But what is tennis doing? Like, how are we combating that? What are we doing to help prevent this? So when checks and we have to pay rent and all these other things, and we've dedicated our life, like, how are we just nobodies? How are we just put to the side and say, figure out everything? I mean, we spoke about this a while ago about Murray's return. You know, obviously, mindset aside, I mean, he worked his ass off to get back to where he was, and obviously still having some setbacks. But, you know, we're talking it could have been hundreds of thousands of dollars to make his return. I don't have that luxury. I mean, I'm picking and choosing when I'm seeing physios. I'm picking and choosing, you know, certain situations based on financial. I mean, it's really almost a travesty that you're looking at these non, you know, you're looking at these individual sports and you're like, what are you doing if you don't have a contract, if you're not getting money, you know, every month or every year, and you know you're going to get that money? What happens when it stops? And you just see it so often, and players are just used to it, so I don't think they're really saying much, but it gets really sad.
How does the insurance work so people have an understanding of where you're in, what your insurance costs are in terms of just basic care?
And what are we talking about? Just like health insurance?
Yes, health insurance. So that how, just on the basic level for your medical care.
I should have to look at numbers. You know, luckily health insurance, I'm still under my mom's plan right now. There is health insurance with the ATP that we're, that I think is okay. I don't think it's great. I do know that WTA doesn't have health insurance, which I was just talking to Jamie Loeb about, which is another really difficult thing. I mean, I would rather, you know, take away a little bit of prize money if you're going to tell me that at certain ranking points, you know, let's say you finish the year top 100, top 150, and so on, that you get X amount of money just for being there. I mean, you know, if I have to worry that for 3 months while I am literally buying a house and moving in and getting ready, that I'm not going to have money coming in for 2.5 months, it just becomes an issue. And it's just a snowball effect. You know, you're talking about, you know, not having the best mentality, then you're not winning matches because there's so much pressure. I mean, the reason why I saw so many smiling faces at World Team Tennis is because win or lose, we're all getting money. So the reason, you know, we can just focus on tennis and have like really high quality tennis, because it's not a matter of ranking points. And it's not a matter of, you know, making sure that you have enough money to pay rent for the next year. It really comes down to this fact that what kind of tennis would we have if those things weren't an issue? And yeah, I think, you know, some of the brilliant matches we have are under that kind of pressure. But I think I'd like to say that if we took that stuff away, and, you know, that's, you look at other sports, you know, a lot of, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th guy on the bench or whatever on the NBA team is not worried about money. You know, they're still smiling. You know, I wouldn't be smiling on the bench of a tennis match if I, you know, if I knew I was getting paid. You know, these are the issues that we keep dealing with. That's why I think, you know, a lot of the problems in the locker room, whether men's or women's side, a lot of the issues on all sides come from this competitiveness that we're all gunning for that little bit of money at the top.
So two things.
You only get one.
Number one. Okay. Then I'll go with what your haters, I'll go with what your haters would say.
Yeah.
And it would be win and those problems don't go away.
I just think, yes, believe me. I still believe I'm going to be, you know, top 100, top 50 in the world. I'm actually gunning for that still, without a doubt, each and every day. It's just at the top of my mind. But I would like to say that this could be a tough thing, that I am more successful in my sport in my lifetime than a lot of other athletes in their respective sports. I've had to be a lot more successful in a shorter period of time to get to where I am, making 1/50th, no, that's an exaggeration, 1/20th the money, 1/10th the money that they're making. It's sad. I mean, when do we get to a point and say that, you know, you being, you know, 150th in the world is good enough to make a living? I mean, I'm looking and I'm talking to ATP, I'm talking to tournament directors, and they seem so content with where they're at. And that just worries me. That really concerns me. I'm like, if you think we're okay right now with everything that's going on, if you think we've quote unquote made it and we're at the best we've been, that's a problem to me. That seems that you're not going in the right direction.
So then my second question would be, how do you break it down? I know, but I'm still going to ask it anyways, because we've only got 2 minutes and I want to,
yes,
how do you do it? So that you're essentially what you're doing is you're taking away from the top to feed the bottom by this idea of guaranteed income. How do you do that?
You know, I've thought about the ideas of, you know, there's certain money going to the top players, and there's certain times where I'm like, do we take that away from them because they're already making so much money? But that's not my place to say that. So it goes back to my same old idea that, you know, we have to get tennis to a place where it's making enough money so we don't have to be taking away. You know, the reason why there's very few lockouts of the NBA or any of these is because everybody's making enough money in these sports. You know, if everybody's getting their piece of pie, nobody's arguing. But if I'm just getting crumbs or less than crumbs on the side, yeah, I'm going to say something after a while. I think, you know, and I've thought about this and I don't know where it's going to go, but I've already thought about, you know, contacting World Team Tennis and UTR and other players and taking a poll, because I already know there's more than enough players that, you know, this top 50 in the world, this top 100 in the world doesn't mean what it used to mean to these players. That, yeah, it would be cool. Obviously, it would be great to tell people. But you know what? I'd rather play a sport I love, make a lot of money doing it, and that's more than fine for me. You know, I've gotten that idea from a lot more players than I thought. I thought we were all gunning for that spot when a lot of other players are like, if I can make a really good living, like more money than I would make doing anything else and like really great money and really enjoy it, have a team. I think that's where tennis has to get to. I think that, you know, I think there's more than enough people that are not gunning for that top 50 spot anymore. You know, I think the what you get when you get to top 50 is what we're gunning for, the money, the fame, the press, whatever it is. And I think there's other ways to conquer it. I think there's other ways to get there. And right now, I think our number one is just getting these people at the top of the sport in tennis, not players, you know, the people that run it, the people that are part of it, making the decisions to see the actual issues going on and not just throw Band-Aids at the situation and say, maybe we need drastic change. Maybe we sit down with all the players. I mean, you know, I know we have the Players Council. I know we have meetings at Grand Slams for main draw players. We should every once in a while have once a year. I know it's impossible. Let's get 500 players in the same room. I don't know. Let's get men and women in the same room. Let's just talk. Like, I know it happens every once in a while, but it seems like the same people are in the room for it, and obviously we haven't seen much change. So it's a very difficult situation, and you know, and this is not going to go away with better results. I'm still going to be gunning for a better future for tennis. It's just it's sad to see where it's at right now, and I just don't want to be fighting against my own kind. That's the only thing. I think there's a place for all of us to make money. I think there's a place for all of us to enjoy the sport, and I think that's a problem. You know, we're all playing the sport because we love it so much, and I think the enjoyment gets put to the side quite often because we have to deal with so many other situations.
Delray next this weekend?
Trying, yeah. I think a few out, you know, possible wild card, who knows. But yeah, you know, Delray, no matter what, train a few days and come back, and then Columbus Challenger. Yeah, and then possibly Indian Wells Challenger, and then the rest is kind of up for debate. That's, you know, Indian Wells and Miami at that point, and see if he maybe...
And Phoenix!
Phoenix. What? Michael Cation will be there.
I will be there. I just booked my Airbnb and everything. I got you a room just in case, buddy.
Regardless. You think we're gonna... No.
I'm just saying. No. I got you a room, buddy.
If only people could see your face and finger while you do that.
I'm just saying, it's a two-bedroom.
Yeah.
Just down the road.
Enjoy your empty bedroom.
I always do. It's a story of my life, Noah.
Oh, Mike, it was a pleasure as always.
Yeah, we'll do this again next week.
Yeah, we will.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
The show might be over, but the conversation isn't.
Join us on social media at NoRuben33 and at MikeCTennis. We want to hear your opinions and stories behind the racket.
Expect new episodes every Monday or Tuesday. And don't forget to leave us ratings on iTunes. It really helps us expand and reach more listeners as we take you behind the racket on the Coffee Cast with Cation and Ruben.